all of you that participated Friday night or yesterday afternoon in the dance, would you stand, please, all the people? Yes, you can stand. Yes. Praise the Lord. And right now, we've got, John's showing some of the pictures. Yeah, those Hemley girls are in there too. How many have we got signed up right now? Tina? Yeah, right at 300. So we need 700 more if we're going to make that 1,000. And of course, we'll take whoever we get that day. But the wonderful thing is how viral this is going now, as people are finding out about it and are beginning to call in. So it's not too late for you to involve your people at work. You want to bring some people from work, another church, another group. It doesn't matter. It's a buddy of mine up in Middle Georgia, pastor friend up there, asked me last night, I was talking to him on the phone, he said, "Well, tell me, why are you doing this? Why are you doing it?" Well, I said, "Simple. We're going to get out there in the park, in a public place, and we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we're doing it, to worship God, to bring honor and glory to Him." what better reason would you need? And be praying as you go by the big park, Forsyth. Pray as you go around that place that God will protect it on that day and on the times leading up. You know, the day we're going to do it, you know what the day September 18th is? It's Yom Kippur. It's Day of Atonement. It's going to be a tremendous celebration that day. We're looking forward to it. But thank you for your participation. And for all the things the Lord is doing, we thank Him right now. Now, for those of you wondering about baptism this afternoon, what do we do in the event of bad weather? Well, we've only been run off the beach by lightning one time, and that was right after we finished baptizing. So we're counting on doing that. There will be a tan, you know, that tan 12x12 tent that we've used during early in the summer for Backyard Bible Club out front here. It's going to be on the beach, we hope, if we can keep it tied down with the wind enough. So you'll see that, and I hope we'll have a sign out there. But you'll see us once you get there. There'll be reflections, you know. A couple of us out there might be a beached whale party, but... come and enjoy. Several of us are going to have lunch and then go on out there and spend the rest of the afternoon out there. So come on down and bring some good snacks when you come, and stay hydrated. This is an exciting time. Exciting time in the city of Savannah. It's been amazing to me with this dance. So many people are assuming that it's something that we're doing for our church, our local church, to give us a name. And please correct that. This is the body of Jesus in Savannah, Georgia. The only reason why that somebody had to take the lead with it. Somebody had to do it. You know, Joel sends it to John. John talks to Terry. They talk to me, and bang. You know, we're doing it, and it's just a wonderful thing. And we're going to come to the Lord's table today. There are two ordinances. A lot of things the Lord commands us to do. Two very specifically. They let us know that we celebrate as ordinances of the church, things that we're commanded to do. One is baptism, He commands us to go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. He commands us to be baptized. And we're going to baptize several this afternoon. And we'll show the witness, we preached on that last Sunday, of that this afternoon. But this morning we'll celebrate communion. Now, you think about all the things that the Lord commanded us to do. You think about, we celebrate, make a big deal out of His first advent, His birth. We do a big celebration, Christmas. And yet, there's not a specific command in the Scripture that we do that. There's a very specific command about communion. Now today we're going to very quickly look at and answer this question. Communion, what's it all about? And the passage we want to read to you today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. I'm reading it from the NIV. You can turn there or read it later. Here it is. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, My blood," the third cup that night. "Do this whenever you drink it, and in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment to himself." Let's pray. Now, Lord, as You have given us this Scripture and You have taught us, I'm asking You now, Holy Spirit, to come and teach us so that as we come to the table today, we can come in a worthy manner and we can celebrate and experience Your presence. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Several things we want to see about the supper. First of all, you have it here. It's a simple act. Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. This is not a complicated thing. It's not it's not something you have to have a PhD in theology to understand. It's a very simple act. A simple act that we're going to do in just a few minutes. And it has such power. And you think of now, several thousand years, the church has been celebrating this. Celebrating the simplicity of it. So, let's not make it complicated. You know, when man puts his hands on things, what generally happens? He complicates it. So, let's let God put His hands on us before we come to the communion table, to the Lord's Supper table, and keep the simplicity, secondly. It's a memorial meal. When given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Jesus was celebrating the Passover. He was remembering the time when the death angel passed over every home that had the blood of the Lamb sprinkled over the doorpost. He was passing over. There was no judgment for them because of the blood. And here is the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of that Passover. In fact, Scripture says He became our Passover. He became the Lamb of God who has come into the world to take away the sin of the world. He was sent on this mission by His Father. So it is a memorial meal. And we are celebrating that way back in that Passover, how Jesus then fulfilled it, and how He is coming again. See, when he does a memorial, it's just like, you know, people that thought they were going to the funeral of Jesus. You know, the only guy in history ever needed a borrowed tomb. Think about it. Number three, it's a symbol of salvation. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The broken body and the poured out blood are the symbol of salvation. What he did upon the cross in our place. He took our place there. Without the shedding of blood, the scripture says, there is no, what? Forgiveness of sin. No forgiveness comes. Without Jesus doing that. So anytime any little mamby-pamby, let's just love everybody kind of idea, and Jesus does love everybody, but not the definition of love that the world uses, but when they come along with this idea of just kind of milquetoasty Jesus, that he's just for everybody, and you can believe whatever you want to believe about him. It's all okay. It's everything. As long as it's under the cover of his name, Jesus, that's wrong. That's not the gospel. The Jesus that we're talking about here is the Jesus who died on the cross in our place. There's not another way of salvation. He's the only way of salvation. It's only through him. Only by him dying in our place. The Lamb of God, the Son of God, stepping down out of heaven in his perfection, lived a perfect life, died on the cross in our place. So he's a symbol of our salvation. Fourth, every time we celebrate the communion, the Lord's Supper, it's a statement of faith. Whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In just a moment, when we celebrate the supper, we're going to preach a sermon. It's going to be evident to everybody. As we read the word and explained it, it shows to everyone that we're trusting in Jesus alone for our salvation. So it's a statement of our faith. It's an action statement of our faith. And so many times, action statements speak louder than words, don't they? You tell your child, don't do this and don't do that, and then they see you doing it. What's the action statement? They believe your words? Of course they don't. They'll follow your actions. In fact, early on in my life, I tried to walk like this. Do you know why? I was following my father. That's how he walked. I want to be just like him. Do you get it? It's a statement of faith. Number five. It is communion with the Lord himself. It is actually communing with him. The presence of Jesus. Now, let me say to you, we do not teach transubstantiation. We do not teach, and we do not teach consubstantiation. In other words, we don't teach that this bread actually becomes the body of Jesus. We teach that it is a symbol, and Jesus is here. This is a symbol of his body, his broken body. This is a symbol of his poured out blood. But the Lord is here. And you know why I know he's here? Because he's living right here in me. He took up residence the day that I received him into my life. We celebrate communion with him. We invite him to come and to speak to us. And it's a mystery, too. there's a mystery about his presence, about what when he shows up, what he's going to say and what he's going to do. So we don't need to hurry through it. We need to let him speak. Number six, it's an invitation to renewal. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. Along with this beautiful picture of salvation, of communing with him, is a warning, is a caution. And the caution is this. You need to examine yourself so that you're not coming to the Lord's table in a lackadaisical manner. You're not coming in a flippant manner, but that you're seeing the reality, the realness of things. Now see, you know, we have this thing that permeates our culture where people have this dichotomy of their lives. They have a Sunday life and then they have a rest of the week life. They have a come to meeting life and then the other life. And the two do not work together. The two are opposites from one another. But you see, you know, Jesus is with us here. As soon as we leave the door, he's with us then. Wherever we go, there needs to be a consistency in our life. And so what the Lord's table does for us, it is God's built-in revival, God's built-in renewal for His church, for us to examine our lives, to put our lives there. And like Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. Come, we've got to reason together. Let's look together. Let's take an inspection tour of your life. Are you allowing Jesus to look in? You see, he's looking in whether you're allowing him or not. But are you going to gain any advantage from him looking in? Because he'll change you. He'll bring you into fellowship, restoring fellowship with him. Number seven is a solemn remembrance. He talks about not eating it unworthily. It's serious business. It's a command. We're reenacting the passion of Jesus upon the cross. And we're celebrating what he's done in our behalf as he stood in the gap for us. And finally, it is the presence of Jesus with his people. This is my body, which I am giving for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, here's the deal. Jesus shows up. He comes. When we celebrate this communion, he comes. He is here. This great theologian said it, and he's not silent. He's speaking. So, what must our response be? First of all, we must examine ourselves. And just a moment, we're going to open the altar and give you an opportunity. If you want to come and spend some time at the altar, spend some time in the pew there, letting God look at your life. You and the Holy Spirit taking a look at your life. Maybe as you look at your life today, you've never received Jesus in your life. And I want to say to you today, he died on the cross for you and he'll come into your life. He'll make you a new person. He'll change you, but you must come to him in faith and trust him. He's not looking for fancy words. He's looking for a changed heart. Won't you receive him? He's also calling on us to confess our sin. The word confession means not to feel sorry about it. Yes, that's part of it, but to agree with God about it. Confess means to call it what God calls it. In a sense, it's saying it again. It's agreeing with God. Parents, don't you hate it when you catch your child red-handed with something and they say, but, and they try to put it in other words? You're dead in the water. Agree with it. See your life, see your sin. Because why is he concerned about sin in our lives, in the life of a Christian? Because it hurts us. It damages our fellowship. It damages our lives. And if you don't believe sin is damaging the life of believers and all, look around you. Just look around you. Look at our culture. Our culture's going to hell in a handbasket right now. Right before our very eyes, it's just disintegrating. And it didn't start yesterday or a year ago or 2 years ago. It's been happening. We need to confess. Agree with Him. He calls on us to recommit ourselves to Him. To give our lives back. See, as we come to the table, it gives us a chance for Him to reclaim us. And then come to His table. Celebrate His presence. And as He restores relationship with us in the place where it's been damaged. I want to ask you, has your relationship with Jesus been damaged in any way? Very lovingly, He's coming to you and saying, I want to restore you. Because He's got more in store for you than what you can imagine today. Let's pray. We open the altar right now. We're calling on you before you come to the Lord's table to do business with Him. If you want to go get someone to pray with you, pastors will be here to pray with you if you want someone to pray with you. If you want to sit where you are, but let's spend several moments before the Lord. This is your time. That Jesus took bread and He broke it. And He said, this is my body, which is given for you. And after supper, He took the cup. It was a fulfillment in that celebration. The third cup, the cup of redemption. He said, this is my blood poured out for your redemption, to buy you back. You were dead. I was dead. And He bought us back. He reclaimed us. He redeemed us. He snatched us from the jaws of death and an eternity without Him. And has brought us into life. Gentlemen, will you join me? There is the body of Jesus broken for you. Dane, the body of Jesus broken for you. James, the body of Jesus broken for you. And the blood of Christ our Savior poured out in your behalf. The blood of Jesus poured out for you, Dane. Jesus' blood poured out for you.
Thus is the body of Christ broken just for you.
Yeah.
And the blood of Christ shed just for you.
Amen. We'll invite you to the Lord's table. We have two stations here, bread and wine, bread and wine. Come down the middle. But first, the musicians are going to come to the Lord's table. And we invite you to come with great thanksgiving, great joy, and great humility to the Lord's table. Is He here? Is He in you? Amen. Amen. Where's Jerry? Jerry, come over here for a minute. Come on through. They'll let you out. You know, Jerry just talk your ears off. Come on up here. Come on up here. You deserve this today. This is a brand new grandpa. Tell them what you have now.
I have a grandson, Samuel, and granddaughter, Charlotte.
And how are they doing?
They're doing well. I just got a message. They'll be able to go home at 2 o'clock today at the latest.
All right. Amen. God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Isn't that wonderful? Celebrating births and rebirths and communion with Jesus. Well, I send you out in the name, the power, the authority of Jesus. Go forth, preach, teach, baptize, and show up this afternoon for that baptism at 5 o'clock. Amen.